Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Professor Shane Higgins, consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital at Holles Street, is with us in studio today. Shane, how's things?
Very good.
Good. 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. We have over the last couple of months talked about most of the various stages of pregnancy, and our listeners can listen back to all of those podcasts. They're on the Go Loud app. You can get them there, subscribe to Lunchtime Live. But I suppose one of the issues we want to touch on today, some of the complications that can arise for patients, complaints that they might have that impact their pregnancy.
Typically gynecological complaints that might have a bearing on either getting pregnant or the impact they might have on pregnancy. I suppose the three that spring to mind that most people will have heard of would be endometriosis, which has been very much in the news with the minister's announcement of an endometriosis strategy in the last probably 6-8 months. So patients with endometriosis often feel that their voice isn't heard because they can complain of perhaps less specific, more vague symptoms, but nonetheless have quite significant disease. And the disease is largely going to be diagnosed on the basis of a laparoscopy, where you actually visualize the endometriotic lesions in the pelvic side walls around the ovaries. So depending on how the endometriosis is impacting on the patient, it might affect how the fallopian tubes work and therefore the transport of the egg, fertilized egg, to the uterine cavity. But the ovary can also be encased in adhesion, so the patient might not be ovulating, functionally ovulating, as in the egg is released and is available for fertilization. PCOS is another condition where we know that patients who have PCOS often aren't ovulating on a regular aren't ovulating on a regular basis. And I suppose the third thing then is fibroids. So all of these things can theoretically or more likely impact on fertility, but also the outcome.
Just go back to the ladder for a moment there. The endometriosis, and that's something our listeners, regular listeners to this show, will know. We talked about it time and time again here in the programme. But you often hear of cases where somebody even only finds out that they have endometriosis actually because they're struggling to get pregnant.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know the symptoms that you typically complain of if you have suffering from endometriosis are also symptoms that patients will complain of who don't necessarily. So painful, heavy periods, constant or cyclical pain in their pelvis, pain during intercourse. These are the typical symptoms that patients will complain of with endometriosis, but there's a lot of overlap between that and normal menstrual cycles or physiological symptoms associated with menstrual cycles. And as I said, if you do have symptoms, and particularly if you feel that you're not conceiving in an acceptable period of time, which is 6 to 12 months, depending on your age profile, then you should go and seek some assistance by way of investigation, diagnosis, treatment, so that it will enhance your opportunity to get pregnant.
Just because you have endo doesn't mean that you can't get pregnant.
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. In fact, you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of people who don't know they have endometriosis until they try and get pregnant. But there's a lot of people who get pregnant who have endometriosis as well.
Equally. Fibroids, you mentioned. So that's something you can get, isn't it? Even if you're not embarking on a pregnancy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's a benign overgrowth of muscle within the body of the uterus. And it can be anywhere in the structure of the uterus. I suppose from a pregnancy perspective, unless it's situated in a position where the fallopian tube enters the uterus, it's unlikely to interfere with fertilization or conception. But if it's sitting on top of the cervix, then it may certainly impact your ability to deliver vaginally, and you may end up requiring a cesarean section.
How will you know if you have fibroids?
Well, they appear, if they're of a reasonable size, anything over 2 or 3 centimetres, they will appear on ultrasound scans as discrete spherical structures within the uterus. And the bigger they are, the easier they are to see. Smaller fibroids tend to have no impact on anything. But if you've got a big fibroid or a number of large fibroids, it can actually affect the anatomy of your uterus and the anatomy of the opportunity to deliver.
And does that require surgery at that point, pre-delivery?
Yeah, so you wouldn't touch a fibroid during pregnancy unless you actually, had no choice.
Yeah.
Typically, we leave fibroids alone, but you would have to make an incision in the uterus in a place that's not affected or where the fibroid isn't sitting. So if you've got a fibroid sitting on the anterior wall, the front wall of the uterus, low down where you would typically make your incision for a cesarean section, you just have to know that it's there and avoid it. But it's if it is a mechanical obstruction to delivery, then you'd have to have a cesarean section.
But again, even with the fibroids pre-pregnancy, you can conceive.
Yeah, I suppose of all the conditions we've spoken about, the only one that might really realistically have an impact is polycystic ovaries, where you're perhaps not ovulating.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
And for somebody with, and like, we often get emails from listeners, you know, because when we talk about, you know, the maternity and fertility experience for a lot of our callers, and we chat about endometriosis, we probably haven't actually touched too much on the polycystic ovarian syndrome, but it affects a lot of women, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Again, you know, it's very almost impossible to put a figure on that, because there are people who are out there who think that everything's okay. They might have six periods a year as opposed to 12. But their patients, particularly if they have a weight issue, particularly if they have an androgen appearance, as in if they feel that they've got male body hair distribution, so hair in their forearms, and these are characteristics that might prompt you to say, I need to go and just have some basic blood tests done. That's the starting point. An ultrasound scan, basic blood tests, a diagnosis, and then treatment.
If you're struggling to get pregnant and have been diagnosed with PCOS, like this texter, I mean, are you hopeful? Like, could you get, can you still, you can get
you
pregnant.
You can. So I think the first thing to do is to treat the condition and see what happens to your menstrual cycles and what happens to your ovulatory pattern. If you're still struggling, then there are medications that you don't have to necessarily go down through to an IVF unit. Clomiphene citrate is an ovulation induction agent. You can use that in conjunction with the other treatments for PCOS. So yeah, there's every possibility that once you get your menstrual cycle sorted and you're ovulating on a regular basis, then yeah, you can get pregnant.
So with any of those three conditions that you mentioned, the PCOS, the endo and the fibroids, does it mean when you are pregnant, do you require then more specialised screening or monitoring?
No, so I'll split them into two groups. If you get the endometriosis, if you have endometriosis or fibroids and you get pregnant, then the pregnancy should largely be uneventful, and the only issue being the mechanics of delivery with the fibroids. PCOS is insulin resistant condition. So yes, you need to be monitored more carefully in pregnancy with PCOS. If you have PCOS for conditions like gestational diabetes, there's an increased risk of preeclampsia. So yes, if you do have PCOS, you do get pregnant. You just need a little bit more careful monitoring.
This texter says, I have endometriosis and they say that pregnancy will ease the symptoms, but not planning on having any children. What are my alternative plans?
Well, progesterone is a very good treatment for endometriosis, and that's often a treatment that patients will be on. It's one of a number of different treatment options. Pregnancy is a progestogen dominant phase of your life. So I remember there was a time where, you know, patients were encouraged to get pregnant as a treatment for endometriosis. But if you are pregnant, that progestogen dominant 9 months of your life is a good treatment for endometriosis.
This listener says, my wife had a procedure to stop blood supply to fibroids. I'm wondering how long should it take for them to die off? She's in her 50s and hasn't started menopause.
It's a good question. I suppose that, you know, we often refer patients for embolization of fibroids, which is, as the gentleman said, you're cutting off the blood supply to the fibroid itself. The radiologist will talk about the volume of the fibroid and how it's shrinking as a consequence of diminished blood supply. It could take a long period of time. It might never disappear altogether. It might just shrink in size because it's rare that it would have a single feeding vessel. But if you cut off the main vessel to it, you should certainly shrink it. Fibroids are typically associated, whether you, regardless of your age, heavy, painful periods as well. And again, that you know comes back to the same symptoms you get with endometriosis. Mm. But heavy, painful periods, if you start to see the symptoms improving, then it's a suggestion, it's an indication, but it's probably an ultrasound scan that you'll notice the biggest difference in terms of the size.
Just maybe this texter is 28, has PCOS, Shane. I'm wondering how is it going to change my chances of getting pregnant. I'm getting married next year. I've been told already to start trying as it could take some time. Ideally, we'd wait a couple of years. We don't have our own home yet, but we don't want to leave it too late.
Yeah, so what I would say to that patient is, see a specialist, have the PCOS treated. If you're starting to have regular menstrual cycles and you're having one a month every 28 days or thereabouts, and you're checking to see if you're ovulating, well then, if you're ovulating 12 times a year, you've got the same chance as anybody else. That's the key issue as far as PCOS is concerned. Ensure that your menstrual cycle is regular by whatever means you need in terms of treatments so that you're maximizing your chances. Don't wait 2 or 3 years for that to happen. Get on top of that now. Get it sorted, ovulate frequently and regularly, and then your chances are the same as anybody else.
Professor Shane Higgins, consultant obstetrician, gynecologist at the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million for joining us today to answer listener questions.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.